Love.
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 Love in this world is pretty messed up.
It asks for a lot and it never returns the favor.
Love in my world? Well, it brings more trouble than it's worth.
In my world, love has felt like
sabotage.
It flees into the night. It leaves at the first sign of trouble.
And it never feels like I love you, no matter what.
Because love in my world, it leaves.
And when it leaves, there's only disaster left.
Oh, a promise is a lot, but it doesn't deliver much.
It breaks hearts.
I've picked up the pieces of my broken heart one too many times.
So I build walls.
Love isn't worth the tears.
The pain, the loneliness.
The surrender.
It's exhausting.
Even when you try to do love right, love fails.
I have made a mess out of love.
What good is it?
Can't help me.
Why love at all?
Why do I even try to love?
Why sacrifice to carry the burden?
Why?
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 Because there is a perfect love.
Perfect love that can end the disaster.
A perfect love that can heal the brokenhearted.
There is a love that saved those who are dwelling in this messed up world.
God tells us about it because we wouldn't recognize it if it showed up on our own doorstep.
It's a love that takes its time.
It's profound.
It doesn't brag or badmouth.
God's love is like a shield that we know will never leave us.
And that you can trust.
Hoping.
And you never, ever exhaust it.
That's His kind of love.
And it never fails.
And while we were keeping records of wrongs, and self-seeking and being unkind, He still died for us.
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
Because I am loved like that.
I can love well, not because of me,
but because He first loved me.
Good morning. Welcome. Please rise and join us as we sing our opening song for our morning medley.
Creatures of our God and King, all living things will praise. From the ends of the earth, the saints will rise to see, they'll see. From valleys low to mountains high, from every distant shore. The call goes out, the people rise to see, they'll see. Praise Him, let all the people praise Him.
We invite you to pass the peace with your neighbor.
The peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Dorr, and I serve with Pastor Tom Carver, who is bringing the word to us this morning. I wanted to highlight some ways to get connected this morning, some ways to serve and to give back. Our ushers are passing around attendance pads, and I ask you to sign in so that we know who's here and we can best care for this congregation. And I also wanted to highlight in your bulletin in the central part a few different ways to get connected. So first of all, the dining, I'll go whatever order they show up, and I'll maybe add some more in, it'll be fine. So the dining tour coupon book is here. I believe it starts maybe November 1st is the calendar year for that. They're in the office if you'd like to get one. And this year, proceeds go to the backpack program. With the closing of Thomas Jefferson, the group has actually chosen that the proceeds for the dining tour coupon books, next slide, will be helping out with a after-school snack program, Snack Attack at Hope at the Brick House. And so that's a ministry that we've been supporting and increasing our support towards. So when you get those coupons, that is what that will be helping out with. And I'm sure that we'll find out more ways that we can help out with the Snack Attack program. I wanted to highlight that this Sunday, tonight, it's not in here. The trivia night is happening tonight in Upper Fellowship Hall. Doors open, there we go. Doors open at 5 o'clock and trivia starts at 5:30. $10 per person, looking for tables of up to 8, and that trivia night will be helping out with helping out with Mark Twain right up the road. So make sure you come back tonight for our trivia night, and you may have seen people in either Narthex trying to get you to sign up for the Crop Walk. We didn't have a slide for service. I love it. Crop Walk will be next week, and so you see that there's an insert in your bulletin telling you all about the Crop Walk and what that helps out with. And so you can sign up to sponsor, or you can sign up to take the Crop Walk next Sunday afternoon. So a lot of different ways that we want to be giving back, helping alleviate hunger and difficulty in our community. Our final announcement, I'm going to ask Linda Carver to come up. And I know we've got a video we want to play silently as she tells us about One Starry Night. Whatever microphone works, I'd say. Green microphone?
Last week, we kind of introduced a new community vision that we want to do. We're going to be doing a church-wide Christmas event called One Starry Night. And this is kind of an interactive nativity journey through that night of Bethlehem when Jesus was born. It's going to be Sunday, December 8th from 4 to 7. It might seem like a ways off, December does, but this is only like 70 more days, and it's going to be on us. So, and we are a little bit behind on getting things going. So we've given ourselves October 15th that we would like to have all our acting parts filled along with our tour guides. And the tour guides are people who will take groups of people along stations that will be given the story as Mary and Joseph toured. As Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem. And so we also, then after that, they get done with those stations, they come up to the big fellowship hall here, and they'll have crafts stalls along the way that kids can pay a little denera to do crafts. And so we're going to need 7 to 8 families to help with that and to take on a stall. And the crafts will already be there ready for you. You just need to help decorate and to run it. We also need people to help us with costumes, because we're going to costume everybody who works at this, and a videographer too. And the last thing we are going to need by October 15th will be a donkey and a couple sheep for the event. So if anybody has a connection of some kind of donkey or some kind of sheep, that we would love to have those. We have tables out there. I'm going to be sitting at that table if you're interested. We've got scripts. If you're interested in parts, some of the parts are already being taken, and so you want to grab yours before they're all gone. And the parts are pretty small, except for the tour guides, and they're a little bit more lengthy. So thank you.
All right. I'm so excited for One Starry Night, and I hope that you get excited too and want to join with us on making a great experience to bring people from the community into the church to experience the story of Jesus' birth. So as always, those are your connectional moments, places to get plugged in and to give back, because we've been given so much. A way that we can celebrate all that we have been given is a time of prayer, a sharing of joys and concerns here at the church. So if you have a joy or concern you'd like to lift up that you want to celebrate or have people be in prayer, our musicians will bring you a microphone, and then we can all pray together. I see Becca over here.
Hi. We actually have two over here. Dulcie has one too. But I'll go first. Rebecca Erickson. I just wanted to share with everyone who's been praying for my niece, Glenna, that she had a pathology scan done this week, and everything came back clear. So thank you so much. Dulcie?
The 4th and 5th grade kids club has enjoyed the global ministry, donated enough money to make 48 hygiene kits to send away.
That's wonderful.
Hi, I'm Marilee Smith. I have a friend that needs lots of prayers. She's in desperate need of an apartment at the moment. She's on low income. She just has lots of different issues going on. And if anybody knows of a place that would be good for her, a safe, secure place, please see me. She is going through just a tremendous amount of stuff. So I just ask for prayers for her. Thank you.
Hi, Karen Dixon. I'd just like to share a joy. My mom is visiting from England. She had a safe journey, so I just... I'm looking forward to spending the next 3 weeks with her.
Wonderful. Nice to have you with us. All right. Any others?
I'm Tom Carter. And somebody shared with me that Carl Kirkpatrick is in the hospital currently. This would be Pastor Karen's husband, that he'd had some issues like previously, but just currently in the hospital with an infection. So we want to keep Carl in prayers as they're serving now in Ames. So,
all right, we're going to gather together these prayers, have a moment of silent prayer. I'll share a prayer, and we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer as found in our bulletin. Wonderful God, we know that you are the great physician that can heal our every ill. Sometimes you bring us healing on this side of eternity and sometimes on the other side. We pray for those that are battling difficulties and disease. We lift up to you the celebration and the joy of those who have conquered one hurdle, one pain of physical difficulties, and we lift up to you those that are in the midst of the struggles and the fights. those that have been named out loud and those that we can think of in our own hearts. Also the difficulties and the diseases of our hearts and our souls and our minds. We ask for your strength to continue in those fights and the openness to the way your spirit moves in and through us, and your presence calms us in the midst of sorrow. Holy One, we just pray that you bless us and you bless others, that we may feel your presence with us no matter what we face this week, and that we know that we can count all things as loss because of the unsurpassing joy of being called a child of God. We lift these things up to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading of this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You are my joy. You are my song. You are the well. The one I'm drawing from. You are my It is easy to love people from a distance, but difficult to love them up close. Give us your reckless love, O God, that we might be able to get beyond our inclinations to squabble and instead live in charity with one another. No matter how difficult our neighbor might be this week, help us to lavish love upon everyone we encounter. Amen.
Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me.
Gospel reading this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. And the setting is Jesus has just spent some time up on the mountain in prayer. He has named and called his 12 disciples. And so this section now, it's somewhat that I like how the author of the book that we've been using, Reckless Love, describes this passage as kind of like an orientation session for the new disciples. And so there's some of the very familiar thoughts that we've seen as well in when Matthew tells the story, and he talks about the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on. Some of the very same words and same thoughts here when Luke tells the story, but Luke sets it on a different setting. It's actually a flat place, and so this is referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. A lot of parallels, but a little bit different wording, a little bit different emphasis. Matthew would write, blessed are the poor in spirit. And Luke gets right down to the point and says, blessed are the poor, because yours is the kingdom of God. But it goes on from there in terms of what we want to read now, beginning at verse 27. And again, what our author, Tom Berlin, talks about, if this is kind of like an orientation session, this is like some of the most important things to remember. Jesus is saying, here's the heart of it. And so we're talking about love and a lavish love, and the challenge of how we really love our neighbors and even our enemies. So if you'd listen to that as I read, this is Jesus speaking, Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be called children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. We praise God for Scripture and thank Him for His Word, the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I remember one time as a young boy that I observed my grandfather in an interaction with a clerk or a retail thing, and he told the clerk, "Keep the change." And I remember the reaction was the person was like, "Oh, no," and he insists, "Nope, keep the change." And I could tell he felt pretty good about that, and I thought that was kind of a neat thing. It was some time later, as still a young child, my mother sent me on an errand. We lived in Des Moines, a neighborhood, Beaverdale, and in this the commercial area of Beaverdale, there was a shoe repair shop. And we lived probably 5 or 6 blocks from there, and so my mother sent me with some money to get some shoes that of my dad's that had been repaired at the shoe shop. And so I remember walking down and feeling like a big boy at learning responsibilities, and I went in, and they gave me the shoes, and I gave him the money, and I said, "Keep the change." And the clerk, you know, was kind of hesitant and tried to, and by then I'm committed to it. He says, no, keep the change. And I walked home feeling so good and so big and thought I'd done such a great thing, and my mother said, "Where's the change?" I said, I said, "Keep the change." Now, it's not that my mother wasn't generous, but at that time, you know, a young family, there were 6 of us. I mean, there was a family of 6, my parents and then 4 siblings in a 2-bedroom small little house. And again, I was too young to really know numbers or how much we're talking about, but my guess is it was probably a bill of maybe $5 or so. And she probably gave me something either like a 10 or a 20. And so she said, "You go back there and get that change." And so the whole way I'm walking back like, "Oh, what am I going to say?" You know, and get back to the shoe shop and, you know, without looking up, say, "I forgot my change." The clerk had it on the counter there and pushed it over to me. And I don't wonder if my mom maybe called them to prepare for that. But I remember feeling pretty good about, at first, all that I had done. And it's one of my first lessons in economics. It's a great thing to be generous with your own money. And so since I learned it was my mom's money or my parents' money, it wasn't really mine to give, so I learned that. But I still realized how cool it was to be like my grandpa and say, "Keep the change." This morning we're talking about lavish love. We're continuing our series on reckless love. And especially think about lavish love. The very definition of lavish is above and beyond. It's extra. It's more than you would expect. And certainly that's how God has loved us. And we want to think today about how we're called to love others as well with that lavish kind of love. So would you pray with me? Gracious God, this morning we want to open our hearts to your Spirit, your presence with us now, and to your Word. That as we open the Scriptures, you would speak to us and help us know your presence, feel your love, and know that we are also called to share that kind of lavish love with others. Be with us now and help us to hear what you might have to say to us this week as we open our hearts and minds to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, many of you are aware, we have been spending a number of weeks using a resource where many of our small groups are using the book, and it's a book called Reckless Love by an author, a pastor named Tom Berlin. Pastor Heather and I were in Kansas City at the Church of the Resurrection at a conference this week, and Tom Berlin was there. Anybody see on Facebook? We actually, Heather actually taped a little promo with him, and great to meet him. He did a number of workshops and speaking things, and a great pastor, a good author, and so it was kind of fun just to see him in person. So if you go to our Facebook page, you can actually see and hear Tom Berlin with me and the Heather in the background, just sort of smiling and waving, and hello there. But he's kind of helping us to organize, I mean, that very central command to love God with all that we've got and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And as easy as it says is to say that, how hard it is to really do that. And so a couple weeks ago, we started this series with the thought of begin with love. And that was a message that I offered as a way to think about, you know, to begin each day with the expectation that I'm going to love as God has loved me. To remind ourselves of what God's love for us is like and how we're to do that all the time. And to, you know, we remember the Jewish tradition of having a mezuzah, you know, a little box right on the doorpost. And inside that box is written the scriptures, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And how in Exodus and Deuteronomy it even tells the people to write it on your doorpost and have it as a constant reminder. And let it be there when you rise up and when you go on as a way to have a way to begin with love, to remind ourselves, oh yeah, that's what we're going to do today. Actually heard from somebody this week that they have a message board on out in their garage, and so they wrote those words, begin with love. So every day as they go out to the garage and back, they can see that and remember that's what we're going to do, begin with love and act it out today. Last week, Pastor Heather talked about expand the circle. How also following God's example, we want to expand the circle from just our own people who care about us or our own inner circle to people who, you know, somebody else, kind of like the ripples on a pond, so that God's love can be expanded beyond just our own circle of friends, but into an ever-widening group of people to spread across the earth. And this week, then, the word, the chapter is lavish love. Now, if you're keeping track, or if you're reading in the weekly studies, it's going to be like an acronym. So, like, the first letter of each title will form out the words be love, B-E-L-O-V-E. So, we've done begin with love and expand the circle. Today, it's lavish love. And you'll have to come back to learn the O-V-E for the other words. But it's another way to remind ourselves of our desire is to be love, be God's love, act out God's love in the people that we're with. So today, lavish love. And just a word, too, the whole title of reckless love, I mean, oftentimes we think about reckless as a bad thing. It's a dangerous thing. If you're reckless, you have a disregard for your safety. But isn't that what it is to love someone else? To go out on a limb, to care for someone else, to put their interests ahead of yours. Jesus knew and he taught, and we've seen it so many times, there's a danger that you might get burned. And the reality is at some point you will get burned. Someone will take advantage of you. And so I love the song that we sang earlier, you know, the never-ending reckless love of God. It's a reckless love that discounts our own safety and well-being for the purpose of reaching out to someone else. So that's the overall theme of the book and what we're thinking about this sermon thing is the reckless love of God, reckless love. And then the individual parts about beginning with love, expanding the circle, and today, lavish love. Now, lavish also, the very definition, if it's more than what you would expect. If you lavish on something, you give them more and more than what you would expect in return. And isn't that exactly what is described in the scripture reading for today? It's a lavish love that is not what you would expect. I appreciate how the author, Tom Berlin, you know, refers to this sermon on the plain as like a introductory orientation session for these newly called disciples. And in many ways, it's like this is, you know, what is most important, what they'll need to remember. And he shares with them, you know, first of all, there are these similar to the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the poor, blessed are you who are hungry now. Again, the little bit of interesting difference from Matthew, who said blessed are the poor in spirit. And Luke says blessed are the poor because yours is the kingdom of God. But then he gets into verse 27 where he says, now listen, everybody, love your enemies. I mean, we could stop right there. And I'm sure some people even got off the bus. Love your enemies. That's not what we expect. That's not what we've done before. How do you even do that? He goes on to make it clear, do good to those who hate you. What? That sounds kind of reckless, doesn't it? Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Wait a minute. You know, that seems kind of a reckless way to live. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one. If anyone takes away your coat, give him your shirt. To anyone who begs from you, give it to him. If they take away your stuff, then don't ask for it back again. I have to be honest with you. I don't know that I could live by this very easily. If somebody stole something from me, I think I would want it back. If somebody hurt me, my natural inclination is I want to hurt them back. And especially if somebody hurts somebody I love, that even raises it higher. I want to hurt them because they hurt somebody that I love. But I think that Jesus knew and God knew that that way of thinking, long term, as it keeps going, is never going to solve the problem. You know, I've even heard some people have said things to the effect of, if somebody does something to you, you ought to do it back to them 10 times harder. That's not the teachings of Jesus. And in fact, it only makes things worse in the long run. Jesus said, no, if somebody does something to you, the ultimate resolution is to pray for them that they would come to see what they're doing. And they would come to know that how to care and love for others, that they would ultimately become part of the kingdom of God, or at least understand what it is to hurt someone else, that it comes back to them. Ultimately, I think that's how God works. The judgment of God is what people do to others. That's what comes back to them. They'll get back at some point of what they've dished out. And then their eyes will be opened. And so to pray for that and hope for that to happen so that they too can turn their ways around. It'll never happen by simply trying to destroy them like they've maybe wanted to destroy you. Now again, that's never a word to, you know, when there's abuse, you have to protect yourself. You've got to protect other people, especially innocent folks or people that, there's never an excuse to harm someone else or to not try to address that or hold someone accountable for the injury they might do to someone else. But that's different than trying to fight fire with fire and trying to destroy them like they might want to destroy others. You first have to protect yourself. But then pray for their well-being, pray for their healing, pray that ultimately at some point God would work in their hearts, their lives as well. Jesus also then says, I mean, isn't this the main teaching that we hear so many times? Here's the golden rule, as Luke records, do to others as you would have them do to you. Again, a great summary and easier said than done, especially when someone's out to get you or harm you or hurt you. The challenge, how do we still love our enemies? Because, you know, Jesus goes on to say, because it's pretty clear, it's easy to love somebody who loves you. I mean, anybody can do that. It's easy to loan to someone if you know they're going to pay you back. Even sinners do that. But there's nothing special about being nice to people who are nice to you or helping someone with the expectation that you'll get something in return. Anybody could do that. But Jesus said, but this is how God is. This is what God's character is like. God is one who would give and not expect anything in return. God is one who is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. God is one who's merciful. I mean, we read it a couple weeks ago. God proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, I love that song, you know, the reckless love of God. We couldn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But that's how God treated us. Now, the challenge is, the first part is, when we see God do that, and we've on the receiving end of that, it changes us. And it's like if that, and we know how good it feels to be forgiven, to be loved, when we didn't deserve it. Now, if that's what we know how to feel, I mean, God does that for us, then there's something about, wouldn't that be cool to do that for other people too? I mean, really the only way that we could ever love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us is if we can see what it's like from God's perspective. I mean, to follow God's example and not our own. And to be willing to give of ourselves, knowing that it has the potential to change the hearts and the lives of someone else. Kind of like with my grandfather, I wouldn't have, on my own, said keep the change. I would have maybe thought, let's see, if I could take this back, I could, you know, give Mom the change, but then keep a commission for myself after all. You know, I've kind of earned this money. But because I'd seen my grandpa do it and thought that it was a pretty cool thing, it was lots easier to say, keep the change. Now, it wasn't my change to give, so that's where I had to learn as well. But there's still something that's pretty cool about when you can go above and beyond, offer a lavish love or a forgiveness to someone else who didn't earn it, who maybe even don't deserve it. He concludes by saying, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. I set a timer so I'd be done on my sermon. And then I walked away from it, you know. Okay, quick story. So there's a preacher who'd make this big deal about taking his watch off, you know, and setting it on the pulpit, you know, and so he could tell. And the little boy says to her dad, Dad, what's it mean when the preacher takes his watch off and sets it on the pulpit? Dad says, absolutely nothing, son. So we're doing okay time-wise. I'm watching it. We're doing okay. So moving along now, the passage out of Peter, I want to talk about as well, because Peter as well, this is First Peter, and Peter also makes a point about, he's saying now, as he's teaching, and he's teaching folks again, he says, and this is chapter 4 at verse 7, the end of all things is near. Now again, we remember in the early New Testament times, there was a teaching and a thought that, you know, the Lord was coming back soon. There was an expectation Paul would even write about maybe in this generation. I mean, they thought Jesus would be coming soon. This was near the day of the Lord, the time when all history would conclude. And so Peter says, the end of all things is near. All things is near. Now we know, obviously, the end of the world didn't come in their generation. It still hasn't come. You know, but the urgency of that the end is near is always true for all of us. I mean, we never know when the ultimate end will come, and that's not ours to know. It might be 1,000 years still from now. But we know the end of all things, as we know it, the end of our own lives, is right around the corner, relatively. We never know how long we've got. And so when Peter says the end of all things is near, he's saying there's only so much time, so here's what we better do. Here's something important to take advantage of before that time comes. Be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. And above all, here's the point, above all, the biggest thing to remember in the short time that we've got is to maintain constant love for one another. He says, for love covers a multitude of sins. And I'll put a bookmark there and come back to that in just a few moments. But he goes on to encourage him, be hospitable to one another, like, without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with gifts that you have received. And again, we're receiving new members this morning, and we had new members at the first service, and this is kind of an encouragement to the new members and to all of us, in that all of us have gifts that God has given to us to use for the benefit, the service of others. And Peter gives two examples. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. If that's your gift, your words of encouragement to share, do it as if it's God's word speaking through you. Or whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies. In other words, if service is your gift, do it recognizing that it's God who supplies it, who's doing it through you. The point I want to make is that we all have gifts and talents, abilities unique to each of us. And when we use them, we need to think of it as if God is actually working through us, which is exactly what is happening. And Peter would say, because it's to God, to Jesus, belong all the glory, so that it may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. But again, it's God's Spirit working through us. Okay. Lavish love that God has shown to us in Jesus, and that we want to then be able to share with others, that we can be merciful because God has been merciful to us. Now, the other thing I want to go back to is where Peter said how love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, to think about what that means, one of the best illustrations that I love about this is a quote from Abraham Lincoln, who at one point was being criticized because he was too, in the midst of the Civil War, because he was too easy on the South. He wasn't, trying to destroy them, you know, in many ways. And somebody had called him on that. An elderly woman chastised him for not calling them irreconcilable enemies who must be destroyed. And Lincoln's reply was, "Madam, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" Very much a demonstration of pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies with the hope, the objective, that at some point they won't be your enemies anymore. That only can happen by God's Spirit working through us. And we just share that generous, lavish love that we've received from God. Now again, it goes against our nature, our character. We're often wanting to fight fire with fire and return so on, or to make everything a transaction. That, you know, you give me so much and I'll give you so much. And it's an even exchange that way. This past week, Pastor Heather and I were in Kansas City at the Church of the Resurrection. We saw Tom Berlin there, and it was a gathering, maybe 2,500 United Methodists from across the country. It was Leadership Institute's training, but it was also trying to strategize and think about how we hold together as a denomination. Especially when there's challenges about how to be in ministry with and for LGBTQIA persons. And a great divide within our church, how we best do that. But the people there are saying we want to hold together and we want to care for and welcome LGBTQI folks in our churches. So that was part of, you know, why we're gathered. And we'll share more with you about that as time goes on. But there was a speaker that was there, David Brooks, who you may be seeing on PBS, a commentator. He writes for the Washington Post and so on. And he gave this story, the illustration of a child care in Israel, that they had a problem with parents picking up their kids late. And so to solve that problem, they started charging a fee. And actually cost more money. If they came in late, they had to pay more, you know, try to cut down the number of people that are coming late for to pick up their kids. And the result was it doubled the number of people who are coming late. Because he gave the illustration, it changed from being like a moral decision out of concern for the teachers and those that were wanting to get home to their families to a financial exchange. And people justifying, well, I'll just pay the money and they'll have to stay or whatever. The point is making a decision to move from just a transaction to a moral relationship. And how we are so used to a transaction, but the lavish love of God says, I'll give more than what I expect back, because that's what God has done for me. Now, again, the challenge is how we live that out in our lives. That's God's character. That's how God works. God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so the challenge is, how will we share that lavish love this week? At some point, you'll have an opportunity to be with a clerk or a restaurant or someone you might say, keep the change. Or give a tip bigger than what they deserved or expected. You don't know their story, what they're dealing with in their lives. Or you might have an opportunity to help someone go above and beyond what's expected of you. Or to pray or be welcoming or care for someone who's been a thorn in your side. To pray for someone who's been persecuting you. The challenge is to be merciful and gracious to others as God has been to us. That kind of gracious, lavish love covers a multitude of sins, can repair relationships, and can transform the world. That's what we're called to do this week, with God's help, to follow his example. We can do it. Amen. Well, this time, we do want to receive a new member into the life of our church. And so, Marion, I'd like to invite you to come forward. And you might notice in your bulletins, we also listed Mary Jo and Russell Olive. And they're not here yet. And so I know Mary Jo had some health concerns previously. I haven't heard. So I'm not sure. We want to be in prayer for Mary Jo and Russell today. But Marion, would you join me here? Yeah. This is Dr. Marion Lee, is a professor of piano. What would your title actually be? Associate Professor of Piano, a concert pianist of world-class abilities at St. Ambrose, been a part of this church, and is ready to become a member. And so, Marion, I'd like to ask you these questions, along with the other members who had joined earlier this morning. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And on behalf of the whole, do you accept the freedom and the power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Okay. And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
And do you, now this is a question for all of you, along with Marion, an opportunity to reaffirm our vows. So this is for you. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and include Marion and Brandon? Her son Brandon's here. Would you wave, Brandon? Hi. Yeah. All right. Before you now, in your care, would you respond with me? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And then, Marilyn, as members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your powers to strengthen its ministries? If so, answer, I will. And as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in the ministries of the Asbury Church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
All right. Members of the household of God, I commend Marion and Brandon to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in the congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And so would you join me in welcoming Marion Lee as a member of our congregation today? And one of the things that we're also able to do is share our gifts, our tithes. That's what makes it possible for us to be here as a congregation, as well as to be a part of what God is doing around the world. And so I'll invite our ushers now to come forward, and we'll share our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Would you stand to receive the benediction, the blessing? And before I do that, I do want to ask some and let you know somebody has hacked my address book. And so people are receiving emails that look like they're from me. Anybody receive an email like that? Okay. And basically the first one says, are you there? Would you reply? And if you reply, you'll get a second one that says, send $500 to an iPad or for like iTunes to give to a friend who's got cancer and I'll pay you back. And it even says from Pastor Tom. It was not from me. So don't reply to that. Be cautious of those scams. You know, somebody's out there doing that kind of stuff. And if I could ever find who that was, I would pray for them. I would want to bless them. I would want to hope that their heart is healed at some point. And let's just pray for that person right now. God, whoever it is, stop it. Tell them to stop it. But bless them and give them a life that they won't need to do what I, for any reason. But as you go out into the world this week, may you take the lavish love of Jesus, who's gone above and beyond to forgive you, to let you know, to give you everything that you need and more. And may you then be able to say to someone else, keep the change. Go and be blessed. And know that God loves you and that I want to love you just as God has loved us. For the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.
Your love come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come.